Also, I do want to point out that I forgot to silence my phone. Anyway.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good.
We're alive.
We are alive.
We're still here.
Yeah.
Somehow it is still 2020.
Somehow it is still 2020, and also somehow it is suddenly August. It's like time is
Yeah.
moving extremely quickly and extremely slowly.
Yeah, I don't like it. Also, just want to say this episode is for my parents only. Because their anniversary is today, the day that we're recording. Right? It's not the day that this episode comes back. You guys already missed it, sorry. But if you're not my parents, stop listening.
Happy anniversary, Nors. That's so exciting.
Right?
Oh, and also before we get started, I need to issue a correction.
Uh-oh.
In the Kecksburg episode, when I said that my brother delivered papers for the Tribune Review, he actually delivered papers for the Late Trib Bulletin. My mom listened to the podcast, and the first thing she said to me on the family FaceTime, and she was like, "Chris didn't deliver for the Greensburg Trib. He delivered for the Latrobe Bulletin," because even though we lived in Greensburg, we went to Latrobe schools, and the Latrobe
Oh.
school news was in the Latrobe Bulletin. So, I'm sorry if I misrepresented my brother to anybody and gave you a bad view of him. It was not my intention, and I sincerely apologize.
I was wondering how you could have gotten anything wrong about that episode. I was like, but
Listen,
Lindsay, hometown.
I was, no older than 10 when he stopped delivering papers, probably much younger than 10 because he's 8 years older than me. And we lived in Greensburg, so I thought he did the Greensburg paper. That is 100% my fault, and I will be taking some time off of social media to reflect and hopefully come back a better person.
Yeah, I hope you issue a Twitter apology. A really long one that's a screenshot of a Word
It'll
document.
be a notes app. Yeah, don't worry.
Okay, good, good. Also, before I really get started on this topic, do you want to hear some exciting news about your favorite girl of all time?
Yes.
So, while I was looking for like fun stuff to talk about this week, I saw an article from last year talking about Nessie.
Yay! I was like, "Who's my favorite girl?" It's Nessie.
Yeah, it's always Nessie. So basically, scientists sampled the water at Loch Ness in like different places and at different depths, and they wanted to see like what types of DNA were present in the water. And they determined that there's definitely no catfish DNA, so Nessie's not a catfish. And they said there's not any plesiosaur DNA, but there is a lot of eel DNA.
Ooh.
Which is like, it's not super unusual because apparently there are like a lot of eels in the lake, but they did suggest that like maybe Nessie's just a giant overgrown eel. Or if that's not the case, this article, which is not the scientists, said maybe they couldn't detect the DNA because it doesn't match with anything in their database.
See, because I think, because when we did Brosnia, they had a study, and if I'm remembering correctly, they found organic DNA that they could not match. It was definitely animal, but they could not place it. So it's very possible that Nessie's DNA, it's undetectable because they weren't testing it thoroughly enough.
Yeah, or because they just don't know what they're testing for. Because,
Exactly.
quite honestly, with a lot of this stuff, if they already have a database, like they do this, we did this in our forensic chem labs all the time. We would test a sample, but we would then try to match it to a database to see what it is. So that's probably something along the lines of what they're doing as well.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, but fun stuff, right?
It is fun stuff.
Maybe Nessie's an eel.
That would
But
be
either
very
way, she's still
cool.
perfect,
Yeah, that would be
right?
cool if she was just like a big ass eel in a lake in Scotland.
Oh, that'd be fucking awesome. But Lindsay, do you want to know what we're really going to be talking about today?
I would love to know what we're really going to be talking about today.
We are going to be talking about ectoplasm and physical mediumship. Yeah. I got very excited about this one. Oh, I forgot to copy and paste pictures for you. Oh, well, I'll show you them
later. I've seen Ghostbusters. I know what you're talking about.
Totally. You actually don't, because that's not the ectoplasm I mean.
Well, Bill Murray lied to me. Unacceptable.
He did lie, and I'm so sorry. So for some background, we are going to have to travel all the way back to the time period between the 1840s and the 1920s. Yes, time machine. Thank you, Lindsay. So this was when there was the peak of spiritualism. And spiritualism, for those who might not be familiar,
kicks ass. It kicks ass. It's very cool.
It does kick ass. But it is classified as a religious movement which believed not only that, like, the dead have spirits that live on after people die, obviously, but that those spirits can communicate with the living world and can give some wisdom or advice to the people they meet with. And then contact with these spirits can be achieved through seances, in which people generally met with, like, a spirit medium, who then acts as a channel for those spirits. Basically, the medium would be able to ask the spirits questions or just relay messages from them. And depending on the medium's, like, specialty, the ghosts would communicate in different ways, such as through trance or channeling, Ouija boards. Some people did automatic writing. They could also show, like, their presence through floating tables, spinning tables, wraps on wood, whatever. These seances were all held in the dark because apparently the spirits lived in a world of shadows and too much light would scare them away. This comes into play later.
I believe that.
Yeah, that's me every morning. Also, I do want to point out that spiritualism is still practiced as a religion, as like a religion today. But for this episode, I'm only referring to the movement between the late 19th and early 20th centuries, not about anything that's currently practiced. All right, so back to the show. Spiritualism, seances, and mediumship are very, very, very broad topics, and we could probably do, like, an entire podcast series on them, but I'm going to narrow it down and specifically talk about physical mediumship and a few of its famous practitioners. Physical mediumship can best be described, in my opinion, as what you see when you go into, like, Madame Leota's room in the Haunted Mansion at Disney.
But not right now, because you're going to die and get sick if you go to Disney.
Yeah, don't go to Disney right now. Wait until after the pandemic. So, basically think a person who is receiving communication from the dead in the form of noises, voices, or even, like, materializing objects, bodies, or body parts. So these apparitions, which take physical form, are then classified as ectoplasm, which is just a substance or spiritual energy, which is, quote, exteriorized by the mediums. Mm. And in case that was confusing, because I had to read it a few times, I was like, what? Basically, it just means that mediums take energy from the spirit world and bring it into the physical world. And that's what the ectoplasm is. Mm. These mediums would go into a trance, and a gauzy substance would come out of them from somewhere. And that substance is what spirits drape over themselves to allow them to interact with our world.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It also conveniently disintegrates in the light, so this is what another reason the seances had to be done in the dark. But, Lindsay, do you know what else has to be done in the dark sometimes?
No. Wink.
Science.
Ah.
Science has to be done in the dark sometimes. You witnessed it one day.
I did witness it. Is that what you were you trying to make a joke?
No.
Okay.
I literally mean science has to be done in the dark sometimes, or things just don't work.
Yes.
And, as a side note slash fun fact, both Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the guy who wrote Sherlock and hates being known only for that, and Mary Todd Lincoln, the wife of Abraham Lincoln, were big on spiritualism and come up in, like, several of these articles. But Harry Houdini...
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say it.
I saw you get ready for it. I was like,
I thought you were moving on.
Hated it.
I was like, wait, hold on. I have a fun fact about spiritualism.
Oh my God. He hated those seances so much.
No, he hated it so much. But so when he died, he told his wife to be like, his wife was a big spiritualist. And right. he told her, it's like, every year for the next 10 years on the anniversary of my death or whatever, like, I'm going to prove to you that spiritualism isn't real. So he's like, hold a seance. And if it's real, I'll contact you. And she did this every day, or not every day, every anniversary of his death for 10 years. And on the 10th year, there's a huge thunderstorm and lightning struck their house.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's real.
It's real.
Yeah. But, like, all of these articles mentioned Houdini and Doyle because, like, at least the ones about, like, these specific mediums I'm going to talk about. Because Doyle was of the opinion that OMG ghosts are real, and Houdini wanted to disprove it and be like, no, it's just stage magic and illusions. Stop being stupid.
Sometimes it's fun to believe in things, Harry Houdini.
I know. Fuck him. Also, speaking of specific mediums, let's talk about a few of them.
Okay.
So first up, we have Eva, I'm going to say Eva.
Okay.
Eva C., born in 1886, died 1943. Eva was from France and was once engaged to a soldier who died in 1904. After his death, she apparently developed psychic powers and also got a girlfriend named Juliette Bisson.
Yeah.
Right? I cannot believe we found the only two valid people in the entire country of France.
Yep, these are the only two people, and French does not exist outside of these two people. I refuse to acknowledge it.
Yes. Truly, I think that's the most amazing part of this story. She got her fiancé died, she developed psychic powers and got a girlfriend.
That's the dream.
We could just stop right there.
Yeah. End of episode. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Sorry, that was it. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Bye.
But anyway, Eva was known for materializing a spirit named Bienboa. And this was also before she started going by Eva C. This was like her first name or whatever. And she claimed that Boa was a 300-year-old Brahmin Hindu. And this spirit could move around the room and even like touch people sitting in the seance. She would also produce ectoplasm from her mouth and hair, containing the images of spirits on them, like their faces.
Ooh.
Or did she?
Yes, she did. Goodbye. Don't want to hear the slander.
I'm going to tell you the slander anyway. There's a lot of slander in these. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
According to the naysayers, she did not. So it turns out Bienboa was actually just like an Arab coachman who had previously been employed by her fiancé's parents. So that's how she knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have him, like, dress up and, like, put on a beard and all this, and then appear in the room via trap door.
Ooh.
Right? But what about the ectoplasm? What about the spirit faces? How could she possibly hide anything when she performed seances in the nude and had her girlfriend do a cavity check to prove she didn't hide stuff in her vagina before the sittings?
Wow. That's a lot to unpack. It's a lot of new information you've given to me about this woman.
Do you need a minute?
Okay, we're good.
Okay, cool. Well, Eva simply swallowed the ectoplasm and regurgitated it like the key to a magician's handcuff during her seances. She did not hide it.
Okay, but we are agreeing that there is ectoplasm.
Well, that's what they're calling it.
Okay.
Or sometimes she would like have her girlfriend, Bisson, move the ectoplasm, and it was, like, attached to her hair with wires and stuff.
Mm.
And they eventually figured out that the spirit's faces were just magazine pictures that she, like, drew on to change the facial features. She literally used doctored photos of Woodrow Wilson, the former U.S. president, King Ferdinand of Bulgaria, French president Raymond Poincaré, and actress Mona Delza.
Oh, my God. Life was so much simpler.
I know.
Just full stop. Like
it was
those
so much.
Like those girls who invented fairies, I think to trick Arthur Conan Doyle, actually. I might be making that
probably.
Up.
Probably. He was real dumb.
But, like, nobody had ever seen people cut out pictures from a magazine and posted them for pictures. So everybody thought it was real. Like.
I know.
Anyway.
God. Oh, to be a lady hosting seances.
In the nude. In France, but when France was cool.
With a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But that's really all I have to say about her. She had a really short article.
Well, she's the coolest, but it tracks because she's a woman. They don't like her.
Yeah. Well, two of these ladies, the next two that I'm going to talk about, had longer articles.
Are they the twins?
Oh, they are not the Fox sisters.
Oh, okay.
They were not physical mediums.
Okay.
In terms of, like, producing ectoplasm.
That's true.
Yeah. They would do, like, wraps on wood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for this first lady, let's go meet her. She is Helen Duncan, born 1897, died 1956. She was a Scottish medium and is famously known as the last person to be imprisoned under the British Witchcraft Act of 1735 because she is wild.
That's very cool.
Right? Apparently, she was also, like, just fucking wild as a, like, kid, too, in school. Because she would go up to her classmates and give them all these, like, really grim prophecies and also have, like, hysterical outbursts all the time.
Amazing.
Little girls deserve to be weird.
They do.
They do, and I respect her. In 1926, Duncan began practicing as a physical medium and brought about the spirits of recently deceased persons by spewing ectoplasm from her mouth, including that of her spirit guide named Peggy. She would also emit ectoplasm from her mouth, starting with, like, a piece as small as a cherry, and ending up with a piece so large that it could cover her whole body. And then she would basically say, like, uno reverse, and suck it back in until it was just the size of a cherry and then disappeared.
I have a question because I think I misheard you at the beginning.
Yes.
Is ectoplasm the gauze that comes out of their mouths and only that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it could also be, like, a physical body of a, like, spirit. It could be a body part.
Okay, so it's, like that. Anything that the spirits physically manifest.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, one disbeliever, Harry Price, asked Duncan to swallow a tablet of methylene blue, which is just like a common dye, before the seance, to prove that she wasn't just swallowing stuff and regurgitating it later. But, and you're gonna like this, we don't know the real results of this experiment. One person said no ectoplasm appeared. Another said that she definitely swallowed it, like that's what they decided based on that first report. And then a third thing says she produced clean white ectoplasm in that seance.
Harry Price is a hater.
Yeah, so that's just going to have to stay a mystery. We'll never know.
We'll never know that she produced a whole bunch of ectoplasm and was a spiritual medium. We'll never know.
We won't. But other researchers later, like, obtained part of her ectoplasm. Obviously, secretly, they stole it to analyze it. And one time, she agreed to be tested, but Price, from, like, two sentences ago, said, okay, we're going to do an x-ray on you now. So she freaked the fuck out and refused to do it, and then ran into the street screaming and tearing at her seance garment, like, just tearing it to shreds. And she also then, like, punched her husband when he came out to get her. And, like, a huge crowd formed, paramedics came, like, an ambulance came, because they're like, what the fuck is happening? And they had to be like, she just won't get x-rayed, calm down, it's fine, she's a medium. And after she made the scene, she, like, calmed down, went back in, was like, all right, you can x-ray me now.
Would gauze even show up on an x-ray? Ectoplasm, but for the sake of argument, it's gauze.
If for the sake of argument, it was gauze, it could show up on an x-ray because you can see, like, foreign objects in the body, depending on, like, the composition of it.
Well, gauze is fabric.
Yeah, I don't know. Technically, okay, so x-rays, I don't know how an x-ray machine works. I was going to talk about x-ray fluorescence. Just kidding.
Well, because you can see bones. Obviously.
Bone.
But it goes through. I have gotten a lot of x-rays in my life. I have scoliosis. But it goes through, like, the gown and stuff.
It does, but that gown is really thin, isn't it?
Yeah, but so is gauze.
But if it's wadded up in a really small part of your body?
It's gauze.
I know. I don't claim to know that science.
Okay. Anyway, I don't think it would have showed up.
I can look it up real fast and tell you.
Whatever.
Yeah, cool. I didn't feel like doing that.
Then why did you offer?
I don't know, because if you wanted me to, I would. I just don't want to.
Okay, then don't.
All right. So apparently, the ectoplasm that, like, people stole from her and analyzed, they said that one was made of cheesecloth, and the other was made of, like, egg whites. And if they showed, like, the pictures of spirit, like, the face of a spirit, it was just a picture cut out of a magazine.
How was it made out of egg whites?
Shrug.
Okay. That one threw me. Cheesecloth was expected.
So not everyone. She was also known to get, like, nosebleeds during these. So people think she was also hiding things in her nose. So maybe, like, that was where the egg white one came from.
That's possible. That makes a little bit more sense.
Also, if you, like, drizzle egg white into boiling water, it can form, like, thready.
Yeah.
Material, you know? Like,
okay.
Rather than just, like, an egg that you cooked sunny side up.
No, I know what you mean. Okay, I guess that makes sense. I was just thinking, like, how do you make threads or whatever out of egg whites?
Yeah, so it kind of looked like a gauzy material because you probably, like, dripped it. She probably dripped it into a pot of boiling water.
Okay, that makes sense.
If that's the case.
I mean, it's ectoplasm, but if it wasn't, that would make sense.
Yeah, and as for the whole x-ray debacle, you know that hysterical scene she made? Apparently, that was just a way, like, an excuse for her to have time to regurgitate the cheesecloth and pass it to her husband so she wouldn't get caught.
That's why she punched him.
Yeah, make it believable. And I don't like this, but a lot of, like, they quoted some historical sources in the article, and actually, literally all my sources are Wikipedia this week.
Yay!
But they made a lot of really rude comments about her weight, so fuck those guys. She's fat and brilliant.
She's the best.
Yeah. Shut up. Why does that matter? So all those things I told you about, Lindsay,
mm-hmm.
They were not the reason she got arrested. Helen Duncan was arrested because she started spilling government secrets during World War II.
And they put her in prison for witchcraft for that, not treason?
Oh, yeah. So in November of 1941, the HMS Barham was sunk off the coast of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But the government decided not to tell anyone until January of the following year, with the exception of, like, the dead crewmate's relatives. However, that same month, Duncan held a seance where she claimed that the spirit of a dead sailor told her about the boat sinking. And that attracted government attention.
I love her.
So a couple of, like, Navy guys decided to check her out and were not impressed. She claimed that she was manifesting their dead aunt, her dead sister, and they're like, first of all, my aunt's alive. Second of all, my sister's alive. But I think those guys were just fakers.
She walked so Edward Snowden could run.
Exactly. And she was later arrested when an undercover police officer, like, attended her seance, and she summoned a white-shrouded manifestation. You know, since spirits need to drape themselves in ectoplasm to be seen in our world. Mm-hmm. We talked about this.
We did.
But it was then discovered that the manifestation was really just Duncan in a sheet.
She's doing her best.
She is, and I respect it. You have to respect the grind and the dedication.
You do.
She was then, like, convicted under the Witchcraft Act of 1735.
So,
because that is the act that makes lying about summoning spirits a crime.
Is that act still? I guess it's not in place anymore, but it was in place during World War II.
It was in place in, like, 1944 and 1945 when this happened, and they didn't repeal it until 1951.
What on earth?
That was real for over 200 years.
Yeah, wow.
It's insane.
It's good to see that England has never had it shit together, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say anything. I live in the U.S.
They also arrested her on, like, other charges, and Winston Churchill even wrote a thing like, why the fuck are we wasting resources on this? Calm down. But everyone else was like, yay, they caught the fraud. I'm like, she's not a fraud. Once she was sentenced, she got, like, 9 months in prison, to which she exclaimed, I have done nothing! Is there a God? Which I feel like is a little disproportionate for just 9 months.
But also, ma'am,
especially considering she had 6 kids, so it's just like having another child, but less painful.
That's true. But listen, it's theater. All the world's a stage, baby.
Hell yeah. She was released in 1945 and promised to stop doing seances, and was arrested again in 1956 while performing a seance.
Yes, I'm like, bow to no man.
Hell yeah. She unfortunately did die later that year, though, and her case was one of the, like, big cases they used to campaign for the repealing of the Witchcraft Act. Yeah. You want to hear about one final gal?
I would love to hear about one final gal.
Of course. Everyone does. So, let's meet Mina Marjorie Crandon. Mina Crandon was born in 1888 and died in 1941. Also, I realized that all of these women died in, like, their late 40s, early 50s, which is kind of weird.
Wait, how? What was the last lady's dates of birth? I thought she was, like, 90.
No, she died when she was, like, 59. Because she was 1897 to 1956.
They said 1857, and I was like, hell yeah. Oh. 99.
Okay. 97. Yeah.
I don't know, math.
It's fine. No one needs it.
It's true.
All right, so Crandon was originally from Ontario, like up in Canada, but she later moved to Massachusetts, where she met her second husband, who was a little bit older than she was. People think that one of the reasons she started holding seances was to stop her dang husband from thinking about mortality. He was, like, obsessed with it.
I don't think that'd be a good way to get him to stop.
I don't know. I guess it was just, like, a distraction.
Maybe.
Something to do.
All right.
See, all right. Honey, you can come back and talk to me later. It's fine. A lot of people, like, believed her for a while because she was, like, charming and beautiful and didn't seem particularly interested in making money, potentially because she had a rich doctor husband.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle told everyone she was cool, and some of the prayers that she wrote were actually read, like, by the U.S. Army, I guess, to the troops or something.
Whoa.
Right? In 1924... Crandon was actually up for an award from Scientific American magazine because she claimed that she could give proof of her abilities. You want to guess who came to test her out, Lindsay?
Was it Harry Houdini?
It was Harry Houdini. He hated those seances.
He really did.
He did.
Harry, okay, so Harry Houdini, mind your business challenge.
Hater Houdini. Okay, so to test her abilities, they essentially had her, like, get into a cabinet box where only her head and hands stuck out. And if you want to picture this, she looked exactly like you in that school play where you had to dress up as Alice in the Giant House.
I was 14.
That's exactly what it looked like. But she didn't have her legs out.
Mm.
However, even without the use of her legs, a bell in a box that they put on the table away from the cabinet box still made a noise during the seance with the lights on.
Boom.
But Houdini called bullshit because he said it looked like the bell box's lid had been forced open. And then there was, like, another seance she did with Harry Houdini where they put her in another box, but she asked to have, like, the sides of it closed so that she could move her hands. And then Houdini and his assistant later found an extendable ruler in the box and decided she must have used the ruler with her neck to ring this other bell.
How?
I don't know. But Duncan then counter-accused them of planting it to discredit her.
Yeah, Harry Houdini, chill out. Don't get mad that they can prove that ghosts are real and you can't do actual magic.
I know. Oh, that's not Duncan, this is Crandon. Crandon! Not Duncan. Duncan was the last one. Also, did I forget to mention that Crandon was another one who did a lot of her seances in the nude?
You did forget to mention.
Did.
Dang.
You know what else she did?
What?
She put, quote, luminous powder on her tits.
Good.
Yeah.
I bet it was radium, though. I bet that probably didn't end well for her.
I don't know. She died young. Every one of them did. Well, I guess not that young. She died middle-aged. She also had, like, a lot of luminous, like, glowy objects that she used in her seance. And she was also said to have produced apparitions shaped like a glove or a flat hand and a baby's hand and then something else that was, like, not identified.
Interesting.
However, she was later discredited, like her equally glorious peers.
By men who don't know how to have fun.
Exactly. One observer said that he saw her free herself from, like, a device meant to keep her from, like, moving around during the seance. To kick a luminous megaphone to make it look like it was floating, so, like, her legs in the dark, the megaphone is glowing, woohoo. They think that she kicked it to make it float. And another guy touched a rod that she had moving over a luminous checkerboard, so a glowing checkerboard, and discovered that it was really just a rod she was manipulating with her mouth. And the hand she produced in seances, it was not a hand or a glove, though. It was a piece of carved up animal liver.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's gross, but I think it's kind of clever. Like, that's creative. If it wasn't real.
I mean, it was definitely real, but if it wasn't, you know, not my favorite thing to handle, but I'm glad that she got it done.
Yeah, I can't handle livers or things like that. Mm-hmm. I had to grind them up during my horrible horse internship. And then pick the gross parts out of.
Oh my god.
Yep.
I hate your horse internship.
Me too. I wish I could just eradicate it from my mind. Some other cool things that Crandon did, though. She would fool people into thinking that, like, spirit voices were not coming from her mm-hmm. by filling her mouth with water both before, like, before the seance, swallowing it, and then refilling her mouth after, like, before anyone saw, so that it looked like she couldn't have spoken. And she reportedly produced the fingerprint of her dead brother, like, in wax from his spirit. But they later said that it was actually her dentist's fingerprint because he was the one that showed her how to make those models.
And I mean, did they have any way to identify that it was actually her brother's fingerprint? There was no...
I mean, if they had his fingerprints on record, yes.
There was no CODIS.
There was no CODIS, but if they, like, took fingerprints, they still knew how to match them back in, like, I think early 1900s, maybe earlier. They had, like, this whole system. They used to actually... So it's part of a bigger thing where they used to take, like, measurements of every criminal.
Phrenology. Like,
yeah, literally, phrenology. So they used to do that until there was one case where there were two criminals with the exact same measurements and the exact same name, but they were different people.
What?
And then they were like, okay, maybe this is not legit, but they still kept, like, the fingerprints.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Science fun fact of the day.
Woohoo!
Also, the reason she didn't win the award for Scientific American Magazine... Everyone was kind of, like, leaning towards yes. And then Harry Houdini was so pissed off that he came back from overseas to be like, fuck this lady, she's fake. And the only person who voted for her was the guy she was having an affair with.
You gotta stay loyal.
Honestly. But yeah, she's pretty awesome.
She is pretty awesome.
And unfortunately, because Houdini and his band of hoes went around and exposed a lot of mediums... It kind of led to the downfall of physical mediumship.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Fuck Houdini and them hoes.
Yeah. Hater Houdini.
Hater Houdini.
And his band of hoes.
Unacceptable.
I know. However, the downfall of physical mediumship does not make any of the practitioners less clever or less awesome for tricking people with stage magic.
Exactly.
If it was stage magic.
And it wasn't stage magic, it was mediumship. But they're cool regardless.
Yeah. And that's all I've got.
Fun. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
Yeah, thank you for listening. I had so much fun looking this up.
Yeah, that is... We love witchies. We love them.
We do. This made my life so enjoyable this week.
Yay.
So my source for this show is just Wikipedia. There are like 6 pages. We'll link you all to them. And then the article from the beginning was Eel DNA has been discovered in Loch Ness. Here's why that might be a clue by Michelle Starr, writing for ScienceAlert.com.
Nice. Thank you, Michelle Starr.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, if people want to contact us, how can they do that?
All right.
You've got an easy one this week.
I do have a really, really easy one this week. So, first things first, gotta die. Sorry, I don't make the rules. It's just what you gotta do. And then I would recommend contacting me. I have a little bit more psychic powers. I'm a little bit more in touch with the spirit world than Erica. No offense.
Yeah, Lindsay's more spiritually intuitive than I am.
Despite
our shared brain cell.
We have one shared brain cell, but I have the half that's, you know, good at tarot cards, and Erica has the half that's good at everything else.
No, just science.
Okay, regardless.
Specifically chemistry, and only sometimes. When the stars are aligned and the moon is full.
We still have a lot of things missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so die. Step 2, find me. Step 3.
Find Lindsay.
I don't know, put your face on a cheesecloth or however the ectoplasm works. Like, get that set up and then let me know so I can manifest it. And then I'll be able to read your message.
Yeah, and we'll record it on Skype.
We will record it to be able to share your message with the rest of the world.
Yeah, alternatively, I could also die, and then you could hold a seance to find me. and tell me then.
We could also do that.
Yeah.
We have options here.
Yeah.
But
if you're not in touch with your spiritual side,
if you don't feel like dying, like you're, I don't know, if you're like mentally healthy and don't want to die, I guess.
Yeah. What the fuck are you listening to podcasts for in general?
Yeah, honestly, hold on.
Every podcast host ever is mentally ill. I think it's a rule.
I think it is.
But anyway, if those options are not available to you because, I don't know, I guess you're too cowardly or stupid to figure them out, mm-hmm. as always, you could also contact us on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube as Just Might Exist and send us your seance, spirit, and cryptid stories at justmightexistpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can do all of that. Let us know when you used a Ouija board and freaked out your friends when you were 6.
Yeah, I will never use a Ouija board. I think it invites bad spirits.
Here's my opinion.
It's a gateway to things you don't know.
Here's my opinion. If you buy a glow-in-the-dark piece of cardboard from Parker Brothers, that's not going to summon a spirit. It's not. They have better things to do than look at every piece of cardboard in a basement. But if you get literally any other kind of Ouija board, don't. Watch out. It's not good.
Yeah. I don't trust that good things will happen from it.
Mm-mm.
No. But on a lighter note, Lindsay, what is our cryptid of the week?
Our cryptid of the week is ever leaving our house again.
That's not gonna happen.
It's not. It will not exist.
No. It will not exist.